Good morning to our Central Baptist Church family. This morning is June the 7th. We want to welcome you here today. We're so glad that you have taken the time to come and worship with us in spirit and in truth. We welcome our viewing family that's viewing us today on Facebook Live, as well as those who will be picking up the service throughout the week. Let us begin in a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you again for the tremendous opportunities that you give us. Lord, we realize that we have been forced to think differently. We have been put in circumstances and situations that there's no rule book for, but we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you that in the midst of all this, you have taken us from self-reliance, Father, to reliance upon you. Now, Lord, we ask that as we take these moments to gather around your word, that you would truly speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would help us to calm our spirit before you. Father, whether we're sitting here, whether we're outside on the lawn or in the sanctuary or even in the privacy of our own homes, Lord, I pray that you will truly help us to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit has to say to each and every one of us individually this day. And may everything that takes place move us closer to you. Father, we pray, if there's one that doesn't know you, that today would truly be the day they would give their heart to you and all of heaven will truly rejoice. So, Father, bless our time as we come around your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We thank Jim and Amy Crider for presenting to move our hearts in the direction of the Lord today. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. Jonah, chapter 4. We have actually been doing this series in the book of Jonah. We've done it for several weeks, and the Lord just has ways of having timing that is impeccable, to say the least. Yeah, in the first three chapters of the book of Jonah, some of the things that we learned, and even from the time that we were small children, and we've heard the story of Jonah and the big fish, and we know how God had called him. And we know that he went in the opposite direction, and through the providence of God, God made sure that he was going to have a way and an opportunity to be exactly where God wanted him to be. We've been talking about lessons that God has wanted us to learn. We're talking about circumstances and situations during this pandemic that God has gotten our attention. Sometimes I believe that God says, well, you know what? If you love sports so much, I'm going to shut down your arenas. I think that sometimes God says that if you love Hollywood so much, I'm going to shut down your theaters. And I believe that even God has said that if you love something other than what I intended for the church, we're going to shut that down as well for a while. To get our attention, to make us learn something. I believe that's what God was doing in the life of Jonah. Jonah needed to learn some lessons because Jonah had a major problem. And then Nineveh needed to learn some lessons because God loved them so much. You know, when we get into this particular passage and you begin to think about Jonah, there's not a whole lot that we really know about Jonah. We don't know a lot about his past. We don't know a lot about what happened with his life before he was called. We know nothing about him even after the completion of this mission to Nineveh. All we know was that Jonah had some issues that really, really come to light, particularly in Jonah chapter 4. Let's go ahead and read that passage in Jonah chapter 4. It's only a handful of verses, and then we'll begin to kind of look at what his problem was. Jonah chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Now, to kind of put this into context, I want you to know what had taken place. You know, Jonah had gotten swallowed by the big fish. He had been spit out on the beach. He had gone into the city of Nineveh. God reminded him why he had called him the first time. He went in and he preached repentance to the people at Nineveh. It says that he actually made it there in one day's journey instead of two. So he's gone and he has done what God has asked him to do. And ironically enough, the whole city of Nineveh repented. Man, from an evangelistic standpoint, that would be a cause for a party. That would be cause for great celebration. That is not what Jonah was doing. That verse 1 tells what he felt because the city of Nineveh repented. Now look at it again, verse 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Verse 2, so he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and he sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even unto death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Let's pray together. Father, we come to you right now, and Lord, we just pray that you will Lord, open our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to, Lord, to see what it is that you want to do in moving us closer to you. Lord, may we learn lessons from your word. May we learn lessons from your prophet. May we learn lessons from the city of Nineveh. For Lord, we know your heart. Help us, Lord, convict our hearts today and draw us close to you. Reach out to those, Father, who don't know you. Beckon that call to them for salvation this very day. Lord, I ask that you would be with this, your messenger, for these moments. Lord, may you truly be lifted up that you might draw all men unto you. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this, we kind of have this thought about, where is Jonah's head? Why is it that Jonah is so uptight because of a great, tremendous spiritual success that he has just encountered? You know, coming out of verse 2, it says that he was exceedingly displeased at what God had done. What had God done? God had allowed the city to repent. Why was this? You sit back and say, this makes absolutely no sense at all. But in verses 1 through 3, we understand why it was that Jonah was upset. In verses 1 through 3, we learn that he had a lack of love for Nineveh because he couldn't stand the Ninevites. He looked at them as enemies. Now I'm not saying that he necessarily even knew those people individually. He may not have known an individual in Nineveh, but what he did know was this. He knew that they were not Jews. That's what he knew about them. That's all he knew about them. But he had a hatred in his heart. Do you not see that in our society today? Listen, we are right in the middle of the throes of this circumstance and this situation right now. When it comes down to racism, when it comes down to equality in our United States of America, there are people who have a hatred for another people because of their color of their skin. There are people who have a hatred for other people because of a socio or economic class in which they operate and in which they live. And the Lord said, you know what, I'm going to teach a lesson to Jonah. I'm going to use him to reach out to people, a people that he doesn't even like. Now, a little bit later, we're going to see some things in regard to how really displeased Jonah was with God and with the fact that the city of Nineveh had repented. He didn't like the Ninevites, and it was simply not because they had done anything to harm him. They haven't done anything against him. It was simply because they were not Jews. Yeah, Jonah kind of had that entitlement mindset that some people have, that something was owed him, that those people were of a lesser class. Yeah, how easy is it to fall into circumstances of prejudice when it comes down to race, when it comes down to nationalities? And it is rampant in our society today. It should not be that way. Folks, the Word of God tells us that the world, the lost world, will know that we are children by our love, not by our judgment. Not by a mentality that some are created less equal than others. Let me tell you that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is for every living human being, regardless of race, regardless of color, regardless of where you are. If you live and breathe and hear, then Jesus Christ went to Calvary just for you. And folks, it is time that the church and that the Christian in our world today have a better understanding of that. It is time that we reach across socioeconomic and gender lines and everything else to realize that Jesus went to the cross for every man, woman, and child. And all of us, every one of us, everybody in this room, everybody on the lawn, everybody listening to the simulcast, and everybody who is listening to us now live or by video needs to simply understand that every one of us are sinners saved by grace. And the Lord says, I am the only one who is allowed to judge. Why was the situation like it was? Because Jonah vehemently hated the Ninevites. When we think about it, you know, you think about the fact that he had loves for so many other things besides that. And he says, in verse 2 of chapter 4, it says, so he prayed to the Lord. Now, this is when he was upset at the fact that Nineveh repented. He prayed to the Lord. This is brazen. He prayed to the Lord, verse 2, and said, Lord, Was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Do you understand what's going on in that prayer? Jonah went to God and was mad. He said, I knew it. That's the reason I did not want to go to Nineveh when you first called me, because I knew you were going to do something good for the Ninevites. I knew that you were going to be gracious to them. I knew that you weren't going to lower the boom on them. And Lord, I am mad. I am upset because I didn't want to see your grace to them. What I wanted to see you do was grind them into the ground. Boy, there's a Christian attitude, isn't it? Lord, I want to see you make them hurt. I want to see you destroy them all. That's the reason I didn't want to come. Here is a man who went and preached to a city. The whole city repented, and he's angry. He's angry. He's angry at God. And then he goes on, and it says, this is how deep and how emotional Jonah was in regard to this prayer. Verse 3 says, therefore now, this is Jonah still speaking, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Let me tell you something. You better be careful when you ask God about dying, because he might just let you have it. Be careful what you pray for. This is what he's saying. He is so emotional about God's grace to the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to see that grace, that he said, because of what you have done, it would be better for me to die. I would rather die than see your grace bestowed upon the Ninevites. Folks, let me tell you, you talk about hard cases. Some of us know people in our lives that are hard cases when it comes down to things like racism, and when it comes down to their viewpoints, and when it comes down to their opinions. But let me tell you something. This is one of the hardest cases I have ever seen, one of the hardest cases I have ever heard, one of the hardest cases that I would ever know of, that a man said, God, because of what you did, I would rather die. Now, the Lord is gracious. Thank the Lord. And I'm sure that Jonah afterwards may have felt the same. But verse 4 is the Lord's answer to him. Because then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? He just kind of comes right out and says to Jonah, do you really feel like you have the right to be angry because of what I've done? Because I have shown grace to them? Because they repented and I relented from their destruction? Because I gave them 40 days, they repented within that 40 days, and you're mad? Do you really, really feel like you have the right to be angry? Now, you want to talk about Jonah's emotional ties in this thing and where he was? Verse 5 says it. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side. And there he made himself a shelter of shade until he might see what would come of the city. He still was waiting on God to change his mind. He still wanted to get out of there. He didn't want to be among the Ninevites. He didn't want to have anything whatsoever to do with them. He is essentially, he's pouting. Some of us know what it's like to pout. Some of us have been pouters. Some of us have some pouters in our families. You know what that's like. Jonah is pouting. He goes out to outside of the city. It says that he builds him a shelter, and then the Lord begins to do some things in his life to teach him a lesson, something he can understand. Folks, I'm asking you, and I have been through the midst of this pandemic, to look at what's going on in and around your life, to see the lessons that God is trying to teach us in the midst of this pandemic. Yeah, all the things that used to come so easy for us, all the things that we used to do automatically that for a season we haven't been able to do. Yeah, simple task of going to the grocery store, simple task of finding certain things, simple tasks that we were no longer able to do, and then all of a sudden we can get a little bit pouty at times. You know, we're social creatures. We like to be with other people. And the Lord has just shaken us to the core. And he's doing the same thing with Jonah at this point. It says in verse 6 that the Lord God prepared a plant, and it made it to come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. We're talking about being out in the desert. Now, when at first glance, when you look at this, you begin to see God's grace being bestowed upon Jonah, even in the midst of his bad attitude. And Jonah is sitting there, and this big plant comes up overnight to provide shade for him. Now, there's probably some folks out on the lawn wishing for some shade right about now because it's hot outside. Some of us know what it's like when you get out in that heat and finally you step up under a tree and it feels like it's about 50 degrees difference. It makes all the difference in the world. So Jonah kind of celebrates the fact that here's this plant that is providing shade for him in his misery. And notice at the latter part of verse 6, it says, so Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But then morning, verse 7, morning dawned the next day, and God prepared a worm, so it damaged the plant and it withered. And it happened when the sun rose that God did something else. God says, I'm going to get your attention. You feeling good now? You've got this shade. It's over your head. You're feeling good. You're nice along the way. I have this. God has this worm eat this plant to the point where it withered. And then not only did that happen, look at what happened in verse 8. It says, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind. I would say that that's an adjective, a vehement east wind. In other words, God said, not only am I going to take the shade away from you, Jonah, I'm going to make it hotter than it was before. This is going to be a record hot day for you in the middle of your misery. It says that it happened, verse 8, when the sun arose, God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Now, here Jonah's back again asking for death. You know, I'd rather die than to be in this circumstance. I'd rather die than to be in this situation. Have you ever had those erosion deals? I've had to laugh. I was sharing this with Jana and Blake yesterday. There has been something wrong with just about everything that's happened to me in the time of this particular pandemic. If I go to a restaurant, I get the wrong food. I've gone to a restaurant and got no food. You know, I had a taco bar that had all the fixings, no meat, no chicken. And I had driven home. Yeah, I could ask for something specifically, I don't get it. If I make a turn, it's the wrong turn. If I go this way, I know that God is teaching me some patience along the way. I haven't prayed for it. I haven't asked for it, because the way that you get good at things is that you practice them. But those are some things that God has happened in my heart. I've placed orders for certain things that showed up after I no longer needed them. Yeah, that's my matter of fact, I ordered something at the start of the pandemic that hasn't arrived yet. I no longer need it. Can I stop it? No. It's already shipped. 2 months I've been waiting on it. It reminds me of the days of kid eating 9,000 boxes of Captain Crunch and mailing them labels in to get that toy. Remember that? You'd forgot that you even ordered the thing by the time it came in. It was kind of cool when it came in. But God is trying to teach us some lessons in the same way that he was teaching Jonah a very important lesson. Jonah now is in a situation where he says, it would be better for me to die. I'd rather die than to be in this. And to compound the problems, you know how well we're like that Chatty Cathy doll that's got the string and we pull our own string. We start feeling sorry for ourselves, and we get to the point where we start that thing of listing what's going on. I'll tell you what, it's been a bad day. You know, I got there, the time clock was messed up, the boss yelled at me, I ran out of gas, the food at lunch wasn't right, don't we? Has nothing to do with what your current situation, your current problem is, but all of a sudden, you start just spouting those things out. Jonah's in that situation. He's like, God, I'm mad at you. I wanted you to kill the Ninevites. I didn't want you to save them. And of all people, you are God. You know my heart. Pick somebody else. Why did you pick me to go do this? God simply says, because you needed to learn a valuable lesson. And so did the people of Nineveh. Folks, I still believe wholeheartedly where the word says that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Even the little erosion deals of your day, even the big circumstances, and even the big situations, God has a plan. And then God answers Jonah again. Jonah, again, he's sitting there going, I'm out here burning up. It would be better for me to die. God answers him in verse 9. It says, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant. Let me bring that into an understanding of today. You know what he's saying? He says, do you really have the right to be upset because this plant got eaten by a worm and because it withered away? You know what he's saying to you and I today? Do we really have a right to be angry in the situations that are making us angry? Do we really have justification along the way? Because see, what we try to do is we try to justify our anger. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But God says, is it right for you to be angry, verse 9, about the plant? And he said this. Here was Jonah's response. It is right for me to be angry, even unto death. God says, have you got a right to be angry over this? He says, yes, I do. I have all the right in the world to be angry because of what took place. God's like, really? You think you have some justifiable anger? And then he goes on and he tells him why. Because in verse 10, the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night, and it perished in a night. He's sitting there saying, you care more about this plant that you had zero to do with. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't provide the sunshine. You didn't grow it. But yet you have more concern over that plant than you do the people of Nineveh. In verse 11, he says, and should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock. You know what God said? God says, you know what? I have cultivated a people. They have gone astray. Yes, I have the right to care about them. And I want to use you to care for them. We've got this justifiable anger thing, and it's amazing in our society today. Yeah, I'm going to go on record to say something now because it is something that needs to be addressed. It has been a tragedy what has happened over the past week with the George Floyd situation. It really has. Now, most of you know here at the church, as well as those that are viewing, I'm very pro-law enforcement. I love our law enforcement guys. I really do. But I can tell you that from being one myself, that situation was not handled right by a police officer, period. Yeah, but one police officer doesn't make all of them bad. But here's what we need to know. We need to understand how we can come together to solve some problems. We need to have some dialogue. We need to have some conversations because it's not just good enough to have a protest. It's not just good enough to voice with the opinion. There has to be some action that will bring about change. Yes, there are people today. There are people in this building. There are people behind this pulpit and people that are listening that are angry. And we're wanting to try to justify our anger. Instead of justifying it, put it to work to do something that is good and something that is right. That is what we need today more than anything in this world, is to come together. And not to hate on people because of the color of their skin or because of their nationality. You know, I've said before that when I went through the police academy and I was out on the street, an African-American man was my backup. And every night I put my life in his hands, in his hand in mine. We didn't see skin color. What I saw was a great man. What I saw was a friend. What I saw was somebody that I was willing to step up for. And folks, these are attitudes that are cultivated. And it's not going to get any better as long as we're not willing to sit down and have some of the hard discussions. We can't justify our anger. We need to solve these issues. We cannot be the Jonah in this situation. We cannot be the one who says, Lord, I have a right to be mad. See, when you look at it from the Word of God, this is age old. The situation with Jonah was he was mad because God called him to go to a people he didn't like, a people that were not Jews. He called them, God called him to go into a place where he detested the people, and it wasn't that he knew 120,000 people. He categorized them under an umbrella, which so many people want to do in this day and age. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God has a distaste for that. We sing a song from the time that we were little children in church. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? You ever remember there's a part of this song that says what? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You know what He's called us to do? He has called us to reflect Him to a society. That's what He's called us to do. Is our attitude right? Or are we in the shoes of Jonah? Are we sitting there saying, Lord, I'm not going to those people. Those are of a completely different socioeconomic class than me, and I refuse to go there. Lord, I'm not going to go talk to that person because they haven't had a bath in a while. Lord, I'm not going to go to those people over there because they don't have the same things that I have. Lord, I don't really want to go there because I'm going to get my coat and tie dirty. Lord, I don't want to go there because it's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me money. It's going to cost me effort. Folks, let me tell you that God today is calling us to put us in some situations that are going to be uncomfortable for us, that He might be glorified, and that you and I might really, truly learn a lesson on how to love people. You know what God's saying? Do you really have a right to be angry over the situation you're angry over? You really have the selfish right, like Jonah was taking for himself, because he loved pleasures. You know, he was more concerned about a shade plant than he was whether or not people were dying and going to hell. Are we really concerned that people are dying and going to hell? Are we concerned enough to do something about it? Because that's what God's called us to do. He loved Himself. Verse 9 points that out. How easily we fall into this trap. Self-pity. We kind of get that self-pity thing going on, and we think that's a respectable sin. Oh, woe is me. Lord, why me? How many of y'all have had a pity party sometime during the pandemic? Come on. Hey, there's my people. We've all had that. We've all had that little pity party. And I know for me, I'm sitting there going, well, Lord, how come I can't sit at home? How come I can't have some time off? He said, because that's not what I called you to do. Now is when you need to rise up and be my hands and be my feet and be my voice. Now is the time that you quit looking at business as usual, because you've gotten in a rut, which is simply a ditch that's open on both ends. I call it a grave that's open on both ends. That's what a rut is. He says it is time for God's people to become the church instead of going to church. And for many, many people, it's been a very confusing time. You know why? Because we don't know how to be the church. We know how to go to church. We know how to participate in things, but we don't know how to be the church. God says, you're getting ready to learn, because I'm going to take all the normal out of your life. And we've done one of two things. We have either embraced it, or we've gotten bitter and angry, or all of the above. Which has it been for you? I sit back and I think, and I have some lessons, maybe a little bit more than a lot of folks. And I know that there are even some people in this room that understand how God has blessed us. I'm preaching in a room that's air conditioned. You could probably go outside, and the people outside will tell you it's a lot more comfortable or cooler in here than it is outside. I preached from a patio. I like it what one of my Cuban brothers said, the difference between a tabernacle and a temple is. He said, the temple has walls, the tabernacle doesn't. And I was like, oh, okay. I preached on a place that you and I wouldn't store our junk on. I preached in a place where it was really, really hot, and folks came and loved it. You know why? Because they were the church. They weren't going to church. God is shaking our tree. And the question is, will we learn the lessons that God is teaching us in the midst of this time? You see, God was pleading with His prophet. God was saying to Jonah, it is time for you to love people like I do. I am challenging each and every one of us today to love people in the same manner that Christ loved them and gave His life for them. He laid His life down. He picked it back up. that you and I might have eternal life. I've always used this term because I heard it in college, Bible college. It's not anything that's original to me, but the ground around the cross is all level. Nobody's better than anybody else. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And it is time that we love them as well. It is time that we repent of the feelings that have driven us to hatred. It is time that we are able to sit down and have the conversation about how we make this thing better. Listen, one police officer has made a nation of really good police officers look bad. And I believe he should be punished justly for what he did. I've said before, nowhere in the training regulations did I ever see how you were supposed to do what that fella did to George Floyd. Not one time. It doesn't have to be that way, folks. They will know we are Christians by our love. When we reach out to them, when we become the church, when we stand arm in arm, we got to quit fighting each other. And we got to start fighting for each other. That's what we need to do. We have rights and we have freedoms, but folks, going and burning down buildings is not the answer. Going and smashing windows out is not the answer. We've got to come up with an answer. If we don't, this just continues to go down that road. And it means that we've got to be willing to stand up and ask the hard questions and answer the tough answers. But be willing to lock arms, just like I did with my brother with Lynchburg PD, and say, you know what? You can count on me. And I'm going to count on you. I still remember one time we went somewhere and somebody tried to make it about a race issue with he and I. And the other African-American gentleman was trying to get my partner, who was African-American, wound up towards me because I was Caucasian. And I still remember what my partner said. He said, "That's my brother right there. That's my brother." He said, "Can't you tell the resemblance?" A good born-again Christian, you know what I was? We were brothers. And he stood up for me when I needed stood up for, when it was coming down to a race issue. And I stood up for him when it came down to race issues as well. And our lives were hand in hand. And I love that man. And I still love that man to this day. And I would still go by his side. Folks, it breaks my heart to see the condition that we are in. And so many times we're doing it under the auspice of Christianity. The prophet, Jonah, hated a people. "Lord, you can send me anywhere you want to, just don't send me to Nineveh because I can't stand those non-Jews." God said, "No, it doesn't work that way. I'm going to teach you some lessons," and God is teaching us some lessons. How easy do we fall in the self-pity trap? One of the sins that we kind of deal with that really brings us despair and depression. The justification of anger. "I do well to be angry," is what Jonah said. And Jonah was 100% wrong, and so are you when it comes down to the things that God's trying to get your attention about. "Lord, yes, I have the right to be angry. It was a bad day." God said, "You don't have the right to be angry. Lord, I have the right because this person did something to me." God says, "You don't have the right because my word says that you forgive as you have been forgiven." Boy, they're hard lessons to learn, aren't they? Folks, it starts right here. I'm not saying on this property. I'm not saying in this multi-purpose building. I'm not saying out on the lawn. I'm not saying over in the sanctuary. I'm not saying in the privacy of our own home. I'm saying that it begins right here with each and every one of us. It is time to repent. The Lord said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent. See, humble themselves. Sometimes we got to eat some crow. And repent. Repent means you've turned from the old ways and you're heading towards Him. He says, then, not until then I will hear their prayers. Then I will heal their land. Folks, I can promise you that God's not going to do anything great in our hearts. He's not going to do anything great in our families. He's not going to do anything great in our church until we get our individual hearts right with Him. Then He can do something corporately that we can't, that man can't stop and man can't start, either one. So really it is up to you. Just like Jonah, God says, I put some marching orders in your path, and it's up to you. And here's what's up to you. You need to get your heart right with the Lord today. There's some repentance that needs to take place with you personally. I don't know what it is, but I promise you the Holy Spirit's already told you what it is. The question is, what will you do with it? I'm going to ask Jim and Amy to make their way down to the front, because in the same way that God was pleading with Jonah, the same way He was trying to teach those lessons, He is doing the same thing for you and I today. What is the gourd in your life? What is the thing that we have just felt like we've been entitled to that God has allowed to go away? And we may have even gotten mad at God because we've lost this certain thing, this circumstance, this situation, this relationship, whatever it may be. And we feel like we're justified to be angry. God says, you're not. God compared the people of Nineveh to that plant. He said, Jonah, you had more compassion over a plant than my people whom I chose to send you to preach repentance. The chapter ends with God still pleading with Jonah. And He is pleading with you today. Here's the question I want to leave you with today. Do you really care about God's people? See, I still remember the days of the revivals. I still remember the days of the door-to-door. I still remember the days of reaching out to people with the gospel message. How many of y'all remember that? You see, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you remember those days. When it seemed like we cared a lot more than we do now, God is still calling us as His people and as a church to love His people that don't know Him. What is it that has priority in your life? What is it that God has had to take away from you over the past couple of months to get your attention? Does your self rule, or does the Savior rule? As always, I ask this question. I ask if you are a part of the family of God. Have you ever begun that relationship with Jesus? Have you ever said, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize I need a Savior. I want to be a part of a family of love. Lord, I thank You for Jesus, and I thank You for Calvary, and I thank You for the resurrection that makes eternal life possible with You. So, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. Listen, if you need Jesus wherever you are on this campus, whether you're at home, if you need Jesus, right now is the time. Today is the day. Now is the appointed time. You simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking You to forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Save my soul. You know, if you did that and you meant it with all your heart, I can just see the Lord right now opening that Lamb's Book of Life up in heaven and taking the blood of Jesus and writing your name in it of every saved individual. My name's there. My name's in it. Maybe you're here today and you've realized that you've been living life just for you. Maybe you're here today and you're not a bad Christian. You're just not what God wants you to be. He's been asking you to do some things. It's time to do them. Today's an attention getter. Today you finally realize that you had more compassion for a plant than you did a people. If that's you, I'm just simply asking you to bow your head where you are and say, Lord Jesus, I realize the error of my ways today. Lord, for my sin, for my pride, for my selfishness, God, I repent. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me white as snow. Help me, Lord, to follow your plan for my life. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you prayed either of those prayers, particularly in regard to salvation, we would love to celebrate with you. We would love to take this opportunity to get some discipleship material into your hands, whether you're here, whether you're at home watching. Please let us know. You know, you can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. There's contact information there. We would love to be able to get you some discipleship material to help you in your walk. If you're here today and you need to talk, if there's some things that you need to talk through, we would love to be able to sit down and have that opportunity to chat. Just do the same thing. Let me know. Let's set up a time where we can actually sit down and have some conversation. But for right now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of business right where you are in an attitude of prayer. As Jim and as Amy play, you do business with God as we look to Him in prayer. Amen. We want to thank you for joining us today. I want to give you a couple of quick prayer items. We want to continue to remember the family of Nancy Parrish. Nancy went on to be with the Lord. David and I will be involved in her funeral service today, as well as the fact that we have lost one of our own matriarchs of our church. Most of you already know, but Joanne Williams went on to be with the Lord about 6:30 yesterday. So keep JC and Kim and all the family in your prayers. I know JC's here. He's right outside. I saw him a little bit earlier, and what an example he and Joanne have been to so many people in service for the Lord. Let them know that you love them. We will try to keep you posted with arrangements. As we know a little bit more, we're going to be going by there this afternoon and have an opportunity to speak with them. So please keep them in your prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support during these most unusual times. As we've said before, we're not passing an offering plate. So for those who are here in the multipurpose building, there is an offering box on the table there as you go out the door. For those that are out on the lawn, there is an offering box right there by the bicycle rack as you go up towards the shopping center. For those that are parked in the cars outside, there'll be somebody at the exit. When you go, you can just drive up, drop your offering in there. And for those who are listening to the simulcast in the sanctuary, you can take your offering right up to the front and just drop it in the offering plate on the offering tables. I love you. We want to thank you so much for all that you are doing. You all have been just troopers throughout this time of COVID-19. And I believe God still has great, great plans for us. May we not be like Jonah, and if we are, may today be the day when we walk out different than we were before. Let's all stand and let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. We're so thankful. Want to let you know that next week is graduation Sunday. Brother David Gant will be bringing the message. Our graduates will have some tables set up here in the multi-purpose building, displaying some of their memorabilia, as well as honors that they have. So come join us. Our sister Tammy Bowman will be bringing music to us next week. So we look forward to seeing you right here. If you're tuning in to us, you know where to find us now, Central Baptist Church public Facebook site. And for the rest of you, always know that we have all these venues open. If you want to bring a chair, sit in our multi-purpose center where it's air conditioning, we encourage you to do that. We've got a lot of folks in here now. Our sanctuary is open as well. It is simulcasted in there. And if you just like to be out in nature, the lawn is open as well, so you could just listen from there. But let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our offering and thank Him for the opportunities that He's given us today and as we go through this day. Let's pray together. Father, You're good to us. Lord, I pray that You have stopped us in our tracks as we have looked at the life of Jonah over the past several weeks. Lord, I pray that our hearts are tuned into You. I pray that for each and every one of us, we have received the message that You have for us individually. Because, Lord, it takes us receiving the message individually before we can ever receive the message corporately. Lord, I pray for those all over this world today who are joyfully meeting as the church because they are the church. Lord, You have blessed us in so many ways at Central Baptist. Thank You. And Lord, I know thank You is not adequate enough, but You have blessed us beyond all measure, so You have got great responsibility for us as we go into the future. Help us, Lord, to follow You step by step, moment by moment. And now, Lord, as we exit this place, we want to thank You for provision. Lord, we thank You for the tithe and the offering that will be given as an act of worship to You, and we ask that You truly would bless the gift as well as the giver. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.